You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Oh, boy, we'll take it somewhere.
We've got some stories for you today. And the big story today, of course, is Trump is going to cancel roughly $100 million in government contracts with Harvard.
Yeah, he's really mad.
He really doesn't like international students. Harvard lives off those international students. I mean, that's why people come to Harvard in the first place. God. Oh, this
we'll
guy,
get to this.
What an idiot. Well, okay, I mean, but we're going to get to three Yale professors in just a moment.
Okay. It's 7 minutes past the hour. It's cloudy this morning and cool, 52 degrees.
Yes.
Highs close to 70 for today. Coming up, we'll talk to Brittany Merlot, our chief meteorologist, in just a few minutes, and also a little bit later in this hour, Michelle Orge from Second Harvest. We'll find out the latest going on there. So, food bank.
Okay. All right.
And, this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. You can go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com, take a free hearing test right there. They also offer fast and flexible appointments. Jim and Sarah will take care of you. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. It's Madison Hearing Aid Center. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. And again, they're family owned and very community focused. They will help you out. They're helping out John. They're helping out me. We've both got hearing aids now,
they are
really doing the job. I got to tell you, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. That's MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
Very high tech. You know, we're into that high tech stuff now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's got Bluetooth in these hearing aids and AI, and very very interesting. The app that comes with it.
Exactly,
you can really do some great things, like get a certain kind of setting for when you're in a restaurant. Eliminating a lot of the background noise.
Yeah,
it's really helpful.
Yeah. It is.
Good stuff.
All right, let's get to this is a really big story. Three Yale professors are leaving the U.S. for the University of Toronto.
Is that right?
Yes, they are.
Just taking off. Huh?
Yep. Professors Marcy Shore, Jason Stanley, and Timothy Snyder, they're leaving. They cite threats to civil liberties, the judiciary, and free speech is signs of serious democratic decline, and it doesn't work for them. Professor Snyder said this in a clip I'm about to play. If you think there's this thing out there called America and it's exceptional, that means that you don't have to do anything. Whatever's happening, it must be freedom. So you really don't have to think about it. These are great comments. It's a little bit long, but I think everything that they're talking about here is something we all should be considering. This is Cut 170. Let's play that, okay?
Okay.
I'm a historian of totalitarianism.
I look at fascist rhetoric.
I've been thinking about the sources of the worst kinds of history for a quarter of a century.
Experts say the constitutional crisis is here now.
The Trump administration deporting hundreds of men without a trial.
A massive purge at the FBI
to make people afraid of speaking out against him.
I'm leaving to the University of Toronto because I want to do my work without the fear that I will be punished for my words.
The lesson of 1933 is you get out sooner rather than later.
Wow.
I've spent a lot of time in the last decade trying to prepare people if Trump were elected once, let alone twice.
Look what happened. Is this crazy?
I did not flee Trump. But if people are going to leave the United States or leave American universities, there are reasons for that. One thing you can definitely learn from Russians
is that it's essential to set up centers of resistance in places of relative safety.
We want to make sure that if there is a political crisis in the U.S., that Americans are organized.
We've just gotten started. You haven't even seen anything yet. It's all just kicking in.
My colleagues and friends, they were walking around and saying, we have checks and balances, so let's inhale, checks and balances, exhale, checks and balances. And I thought, my God, we're like people on the Titanic saying our ship can't sink. We've got the best ship, we've got the strongest ship, we've got the biggest ship, our ship can't sink. And what you know as a historian is that there is no such thing as a ship that can't sink.
The golden age of America has only just begun.
America has long had an exceptionalist narrative. Fascism can happen elsewhere, but not here.
But talking about American exceptionalism is basically a way to get people to fall into line. If you think that there's this thing out there called America and it's exceptional, that means that you don't have to do anything. Whatever is happening, it must be freedom. And so then what your definition of freedom is just gets narrowed and narrowed and narrowed and narrowed, and soon you're using the word freedom, but what you're talking about is authoritarianism.
We are seeing those steps accelerated right now.
We cannot allow a handful of communist radical left judges to obstruct the enforcement of our laws.
What starts to matter is not what is concealed, but what has been normalized. There's no limit to the depravity.
President Trump did not rule out the possibility of a third term.
And the sadism.
The White House released this video titled ASMR, Illegal Alien Deportation Flight.
And the cruelty that we are watching now play out in real time.
This facility is one of the tools in our toolkit that we will use.
Is this okay? Is there a line I wouldn't cross? Is there something I would not do?
Poland recently went through a shift towards authoritarianism. Unlike in Russia, unlike in Hungary, the media remained a place in Poland where you could criticize the regime. And as a result, democracy returned. The moral of Poland is that our democratic institutions, the media, the university, and the courts are essential. You know you're living in a fascist society when you're constantly going over in your head the reasons why you're safe. What we want is a country where none of us have to feel that way.
Well, wow. There's a lot to unpack there.
That's great. Really, really great stuff.
Sums it up.
You'd expect that from three Yale professors, right?
Right.
And you can find that, by the way, at the New York Times website under the opinion page. They do have an entire video. That's just a part of the video. There's about 2 or 3 minutes more of it. In fact, I have another segment here where we're looking at Russia. Because all these things have happened in Russia, and they're a great reference point for these particular professors. So could we play a cut 187 real quick here? All right, here we go.
There are some words in Russian in particular that I feel help us to understand what's happening in the United States, because we now have those phenomena, произвол. It's the idea that the powers that be can do anything they want to you, and you have no recourse. This not knowing who is next creates a state of paralysis in society.
The tough student whose visa was removed because she co-authored an article in the tough student newspaper.
I thought, what would I do if guys in masks tried to grab my student? Would I scream? Would I run away? Would I try to pull the mask off? Would I try to videotape the scene? Would I try to pull the guys off of her? Maybe I would get scared and run away. The truth is, I don't know. Not knowing terrified me.
It's a deliberate act of terror. It's not necessary.
It is.
It's just being done to create a spirit of us and them.
Prodajnost. It's a word in Russian for corruption, but it's larger than corruption. It refers to a kind of existential state in which not only everything but everyone can be bought or sold.
Critics are calling this a quid pro quo deal between Adams and President Trump.
There's an expression in Polish, I found myself at the very bottom. and then I heard knocking from below. In Russian, that gets abbreviated to there is no bottom.
We cannot allow a handful of communist radical left judges to obstruct the enforcement of our laws.
What starts to matter is not what is concealed, but what has been normalized.
Yep, there you go.
Well,
a lot to think about. I mean, you know, all these little things add up to something huge, and that is loss of democracy. And we're pro-democracy on this program. So I hope we all kind of learn something from it. But one of the amazing events, do you have something you wanted to throw in there?
Well, I just thought of something funny that I read over the weekend. We were talking about these Russian sayings in that last clip. There was, I'm paraphrasing here, one that I read. Man goes up to a newsstand every day and looks at the paper but doesn't buy any. And eventually the guy running the newsstand says, why don't you ever buy the paper? The guy says, well, I'm looking for the obituaries. And the guy says, well, the obituaries are at the back, comrade. The obituary that I'm looking for would be on the front page, my friend.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
That's good.
Not implying anything by that. No. I just thought it was
That was good. 60 Minutes Scott Pelley issued a clarion call to the graduates of Wake Forest. The Nazification of the U.S. is unfolding under Trump, and Project 2025 in America's Youth is the last bulwark preventing autocracy, and this is part of Scott Pelley's speech. Cut 180.
This moment, this morning, our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts. The fear to speak in America. Power can rewrite history with grotesque false narratives. They can make criminals heroes and heroes criminals. Power can change the definition of the words we use to describe reality. Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity is to be shunned. Inclusion is a dirty word. This is an old playbook, my friends. There's nothing new in this.
Yeah, true.
Scott Pelley giving the commencement address there.
Just an amazing thing, isn't
getting
it?
Everybody's attention.
Well, the host of 60 Minutes coming right out and saying that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah,
but
60 Minutes
but
lost.
These are the times we're calling for this now. This has to happen now.
Yes.
We have to be this outspoken, regardless of, you know, appearing news-like and impartial. There's no time for being impartial at this point.
And again, CBS under a lot of pressure with their whatever their merger deal was there with Paramount Plus that they were trying to get through.
Has to be okayed by the orange guy.
Yeah, Trump's got to okay that. And so they gave a lot of heat to the executive producer of 60 Minutes, and he ended up resigning. So, yes, media is under pressure.
And I can't emphasize enough how Trump is micromanaging the entire U.S. economy, which is just so incredibly dangerous.
Yes. When we return, Brittany Merlot will join us, our chief meteorologist, tell us what we can expect weather-wise for this week. And coming up shortly, Michelle Orgay from Second Harvest will join us on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Ah, palm trees swaying in the breeze, waves crashing up against the shore. Lay out on the beach, asking our neighbor in a foreign language, is it hot? You'll say yes. Yes. In English, you'll say yes, it is hot. No, what I'm doing
anymore.
What
else would you? Would you wish for something to eat? Would you like something to eat? Would you like a croissant, perhaps?
Oh, well, perhaps. Yes. Yeah, actually, I was just reliving the end to Body Heat.
Mm, oh, yeah.
Where they're out on the shore and she is asked yes. in a different language.
Right.
And she goes, what? He goes, it is hot. And then she goes, yes.
That's a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Man. I know. Oh, I gave away the ending. Oh, well. That's too
bad, Sam. Well, you told your, I was going to bring up your story of how you came to watch Body Heat the first time.
Oh, yes, yes. University Square 4 Theaters right? down here. We were drinking heavily.
I think I might have been with you.
A crowd of us.
We pretty
were
sure.
And we wanted to see something really risque. And we thought, oh, my God, Body Heat here
Body
at
Heat.
The University Square
oh,
4
yeah.
Theaters. Let's go.
Yes.
And we walked out of there stunned and amazed.
Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
William Hurt. Oh, boy. What a movie. Okay. This portion of John and Gordy in the morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing that remains constant since 1958, they are still direct to consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations, Madison East and Madison West. Or just go to Verlo.com and find out a whole lot more. That's Verlo.com.
I think the memorable scene in that is when Kathleen Turner is kind of pulling him around the bedroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can kind of get an image of that. All right.
Pulling him around
the room.
Yeah, okay. But what about the scene? Yeah, don't go into any details there.
All right, I won't do that.
What about the scene where William Hurt throws the patio chair through the
that's
door.
That's a little intense. I thought,
the window.
How is he going to fix that before her husband gets home? I was worried about that.
Oh, boy. We have both Mark and Dick on the phone line. Guys, hold on. We're going to check in with Brittany Merlot, our chief meteorologist, about what's happening weather-wise this week. Good morning.
She had guests over this weekend.
Yes.
Family came up.
What did you do with your guests
from
Memorial Day weekend, your family? What did you do?
Well, I dragged him out into the woods. Go figure.
Okay. Is there more to
I
that?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. So we took Jeep Wranglers
in the family. The Jeep Wranglers.
So we took them out on the trails. Yeah. We've got this off-road 4x4 trail system over here, and we went mudding. Got a little mud on the tires.
Oh,
it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There you go. Good times.
It was crazy to see some of these Jeeps, though. I mean, you see them out on the road, the big tires, all these things.
Right.
And you wonder, what in the world? Well, I saw them out there rock crawling, like deflated tires on these pointy rocks, just jacked up. It was wild to see in person, honestly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I hope that's not your daily driver that you've got on this rock.
So that's why they have those tires. It's just for the mudding, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Climbing, yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Cool
All right,
stuff.
Well,
how was your Memorial Day weekend? Did you guys stay outside? Did you enjoy the crisp 60s?
It was beautiful weather-wise.
I loved it out there. Yeah, this is beautiful. Just fantastic weather.
Kind of cloudy today.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
I know. The darn clouds rolled in. We're going to be stuck with them today, tomorrow. Maybe some spotty sprinkles at times today. High temperatures probably in the upper 60s, flirting with 70. And then tomorrow we cool down just a little bit to the mid-60s with some scattered shower chances. Then we dry out as this low-pressure system leaves us alone. We're going to get warmer, too. So sunshine by Thursday. That holds the entire weekend. And we're going to hit 80 degrees by Friday. We're going to hold that through the weekend and into next week, too.
Wow.
So
really?
Summer weather.
I like it.
80.
Oh, yeah.
Summer has arrived, apparently. Yeah.
Full force.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for that weather. That's fantastic. You always give us great weather sometimes, and we appreciate it.
Sometimes,
it's your fault.
Always sometimes.
It's your fault.
Thank you, Brittany. You have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
WMDX Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Okay. Yeah. Got a couple of phone calls.
Right,
maybe we can squeeze these in for the next break. Let's go to Mark. He's on the line this morning. Good morning, Mark. What do you got for us?
Well, reading again from the Declaration of Independence, I mean, it seems a line struck me. It goes, they too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of co-sanguinity, which means common ties of common blood. It seems to me it could be addressed today as, is it too many of our people in our government today, particularly among the Republican Party, you know, definitely among the administration, they are deaf to the voice of justice and to our common humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just beyond me that that this is acceptable to any Americans at all. But I mean, that apparently these people don't care about, as you know, that when we declared independence, I mean, too many of our British brethren were deaf to, you know, our ties of common heritage there, and now it's our common humanity that apparently Trump wants to erase.
I you know, for some reason, I just think being conservative, there's a sociopath quality to them. I, you know, and it can be emphasized. It can be, you know, of course, you know, held back. But I think there's a quality to the MAGA contention that they are sociopaths.
Well, maybe so.
For a great many of them, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you, Mark.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, if you're not a millionaire or billionaire, right. They don't really care.
Let's go to Dick.
Dick, good morning. What do you got this morning?
Well, it's up with the president and Putin, and, you know, Putin playing him again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, he didn't know who he's been for the last 20 years. Now he gets the message.
I know. But, yeah.
And then Putin's comeback is pretty funny, too, in that, you know, he's the emotional part. Well, you'd have to be somebody that has emotion. He has none. But,
right.
And last, this situation with the universities.
Yeah.
This is a populist president coming out, guys. Now he's threatening to give this money to the trade schools. But you see, the reason he's doing that is because he deadbeated so many people in the trades over the years.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Boy, yeah, exactly.
So true, Dick.
Just on, right yeah. on point. Thank you,
I actually
you,
had that cut of Trump admitting that he was owned by Putin.
Yes. Dick, thank you for that call.
We'll get to that.
We will get to that. Coming up next, right around the corner, Michelle Orge from Second Harvest will join us. We'll find out what's going on with the food banks and much more on John and Gordy in the Morning.
WMDX 92.7 and John and Gordy.
Madison.
Just by coincidence, it happens that way every day.
And
I will shut up now.
Okay. Right. Keep saying that, but then you keep talking. Excuse me, I'm all choked up now. Cloudy skies today, 52 degrees currently, highs close to 70. Pardon me. A little bit later on. Temperatures will climb, and then we might get a spot or two of rain, but otherwise just kind of cloudy today. Okay.
I got to read what Doug has here.
Okay.
He texted us. He says, you have more stories than airtime.
Yes.
If you were to talk at the same time, you could deliver twice as much content.
So both of us talking at the same
yes.
time?
In well, industry first, he calls it. I would assume yes.
You know, he is the idea guy.
Yeah.
Doug has got a million ideas, and some of them are interesting. Madison Hearing Aid Center brings us this portion of the John and Gordy Show. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com is where you can go to get all kinds of great information, including a free hearing test on their website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. They offer individualized care, not one size fits all, and they are helping people, changing their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. Madison Hearing Aid Center. 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Michelle Orge is with us now from Second Harvest. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
Thanks.
We appreciate you coming in this morning. So For people that don't know what Second Harvest is all about, you're kind of a food bank for food banks, right?
Yeah, we're kind of a central hub for supplying a lot of food pantries in our 16-county service area in southwestern Wisconsin. There are about 300 partners and programs. Mm-hmm. And so you've heard of a lot of our partners in the area, the River, Badger Perry Needs Network, Way Forward, mm-hmm. St. Vincent de Paul, a lot of the folks that that you've heard of providing food support to folks. Mm-hmm. We help provide food to them. More than half of our partners, or more than the majority of our partners, get more than half their food from Second Harvest.
Mm-hmm. And where does Second Harvest get their food?
Well, we get our food from donations. We purchase some food. We do get a little bit of food through some USDA commodities, mm-hmm. but that's less than 5 or 10% of our food. Primarily, we rescue food, we recover food, we get food that is still great, but isn't going to make it to its final destination in time. So we're a food recovery powerhouse, and we're distributing. Last year, we distributed more than 26 million pounds of food.
Yeah, wait, 26 million.
Yeah, that's
pounds.
A lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yep, big semi trucks coming and going, smaller trucks. We traveled nearly 200,000 miles in our 16 counties last year.
You know, this food recovery thing is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. How does a person get involved in that? I mean, do you automatically know that some of the food that gets a little old or isn't sold that particular day is something that can be recovered? How does a person know that?
How does a person who's rescuing it or the other folks?
Yeah, well, how does the grocer or whoever it is that's providing it at restaurants?
Food rescue's been going on for many, many years, and it's grown in size and sophistication, I would say. There's an mm-hmm. infrastructure around it. Food banks, there are 200 Feeding America food banks around the country, and all of us do it to some degree. And our partners do it as well. But yeah, we have regularly scheduled pickups at grocery stores, at food manufacturers, distribution centers, farms, et cetera, farmer's market. We go actually on Wednesday nights to the farmer's market, and we purchase the food that hasn't sold from farmers there. Second Harvest goes on Wednesday evenings and gets that, and then we distribute that directly to a partner agency. Wow. So lots of different ways to get the food. But yeah, when there's food out there that can be used and it's still good, we get that.
That's good to know. I did not know that.
Now, we were talking a little bit before we came on the air here about how things have changed since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Before the pandemic, there was a certain amount of need. During the pandemic, that went up. And then what happened after the pandemic?
Yeah, well, before the pandemic, we were working hard and getting a lot of food out there and felt we were stretched to, some limits there. And then during the pandemic, we're like, well, we can do this too. We're built for this. And we rose to the challenge, and the community supported us. And we went from about 500,000 pounds a month distributed to our partners. And then we went to 1 million a month.
Wow.
And we're like, whoa, I can't mm-hmm. believe we're doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at about 2 million pounds of food every month distributed. And that's twice as much as during the height of the pandemic. And we could distribute more. We just don't. The resources and capacity mm-hmm. are a challenge.
That's amazing to me that it didn't go a little bit back down after the pandemic, that people would be able to, go back to work. But it actually went up.
It went up. Costs have gone up. For the lowest wage earners, their wages haven't gone up as much as other
right.
folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be a reason for this. I mean, there is a social reason why we have these food banks and why there's a necessity to have them. And it's almost like the end results of capitalism. This causes people to be hungry, to not be able to afford food or have access to it. There's this cause, mm-hmm. the cause is there. Are we trying to deal with any of that, trying to change that at all? So it makes it easier on you, and certainly you have more food and the ability to continue this.
Well, it's a combination of things that can solve this, and part of that are SNAP benefits. We can talk about that in a moment. But, we talk about the root causes of food insecurity. And at Second Harvest and at many food banks, we consider the root causes of food insecurity to be lack of a living wage, lack of affordable housing, insufficient access to health care, and ultimately underlying that is a lot of systemic racism. The mm-hmm. the effects of food insecurity, they're more than twice that in communities of color. And this has a lot to do with the institutional barriers that have been set up over the years, generations, redlining, access yeah. to education that have allowed, you know, white folks to have build wealth over generations, mm-hmm. and in particular, black folks have not been able to do that. People of color in general have not been able to build wealth, have not been able to participate the same. They've been blocked from a lot of access to income. And this is ultimately an income thing, right? And
yeah.
and so how do you fix this? Well, you need to give folks access to basic resources so they can get where they need to go. Food changes lives, whether you have it or not, mm-hmm. right? If you have yeah. it helps you get to where you need to go. It helps with your development, your brain development, your ability to work hard and go to school and not be absent from work, right? Many jobs, if you don't go, you don't get paid, right?
It's exactly.
And then if you don't have it, hunger makes everything harder. You just can't get to where you need to go, no matter where you lie in the political arena of what if folks deserve mm-hmm. food, if folks are mm-hmm. Hand up versus hand out. If folks don't have food, they're not going to get where they need to go or where you think they should be going.
Right. So this big, beautiful bill that mm-hmm. passed through the House has a lot of benefits for the SNAP program being cut.
Yes.
Extremely. And how do you expect things are going to shake out here as we go through time here if this bill passes through the Senate, gets signed?
Well, you know, Second Harvest and our 300 partners and programs are going to continue to work to provide food access to any of our neighbors in need. But this makes it a lot harder. We're already pushed to the limits. Mm-hmm. There are folks, our partners are seeing 2 to 3 times the number of folks they're seeing in the past years.
Right.
And nearly 700,000 people in Wisconsin currently rely on SNAP, we call it Food Share here in Wisconsin, to make sure they have enough food on their tables. And this is going to really, this is going to be devastating for them. You know, we, even though Memorial Day isn't officially about veterans, thinking of veterans, there are, 1.2 million veterans in the United States who use SNAP benefits. And 24% of working age veterans are food insecure. This is a benefit that helps so many folks. There's this picture folks think of when they think of somebody who's using SNAP benefits. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the stigma that's associated with it is that there are folks who paint this picture. And it's to qualify for SNAP benefits, for a family of four, you have to be at what's referred to as 130% of the federal poverty level. That's $41,000 for a family of four.
Yeah.
So few people actually qualify for SNAP benefits, but those who do, it's one of the best ways to get them support, right? Mm-hmm. To actually be what's called a survival wage in Dane County, it's $68,000 per year for that family of four. And to be at a thriving or a stable it's $119,000.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, you know, I know that the Trump administration is cutting a lot of these food mm-hmm. programs, and they're doing it because Trump has this idea that a lot of that food has preservatives in it, it's high in salt, and it's made to last a long time. So he wants to change that and make it fresh fruits and vegetables and... How realistic is something like that?
I think that was referring to a specific program about there was the CSFP, the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. There was some information about how he wanted to replace that with these fresh fruit boxes, fresh food boxes. And he referred to the food that was coming through pantries and food banks as canned goods. That's just not true. It's interesting because...
Almost, so it's not true.
It's not true that fresh food isn't getting out there.
We're solving a problem that's not true.
We do have shelf-stable foods, but almost more than two-thirds of our food that we distributed was fresh, perishable, high-protein fruits, vegetables. It's similar to all other food banks. We distribute mm-hmm. fresh, good food, and it's not that.
As much as you can, at least. I mean, everybody has food that's, they can hold on to for years.
Yeah, what's at your house, pantry. Right?
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
Both.
Exactly.
Michelle, we just have a couple of more minutes here. Michelle Orgay from Second Harvest. So I know there's always a call for action for perhaps volunteers for Second Harvest or some of the food banks that you work with. Yep. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, if you go to our website, Second Harvest SW, which is Southwest, secondharvestsw.org, you can find information about volunteering. We need volunteers all the time and support, financial support for us, for our partners, volunteering at our partners. If you're not located where we're in the you know, we're out near Monona in Madison, if you're closer to one of our partners, please volunteer there, support any of us. And, you know, seeing that there's this big, beautiful bill or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't
call it
that.
We call it the big bad
the
bill.
The big bad bill.
That's what we call it.
It hasn't gone into effect yet, right?
Right.
It has to, you know, contact your senators. Read through it. Find out what you do or don't like about it and tell your senators what you think.
All right. That's a good plan.
Michelle, thank you for joining us this morning again. Michelle Orge from Second Harvest. Come
thank
back
you so
again.
Much.
Keep in touch.
I will.
Okay?
Thank you. All right.
And again, if you'd like to find out more about Second Harvest, you can go to their website, secondharvestsw.org. That's secondharvestsw.org. Thanks again, Michelle.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We will continue, come back to wrap up the show and tell you what we have cooking for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, and we've got an international Harvard student. He's got something to say, too.
Okay, we'll have that right after this on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The stupid story of why Lil Donnie is so obsessed with Harvard. Since he got into office, Donnie has been losing his little mind over Harvard. But this goes way, way back. See, Obama was a Harvard graduate, and Trump repeatedly said his education gave him an unfair advantage. In fact, many presidents have attended Harvard, including John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Rutherford B. Hayes, Teddy, and Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, and George W. Bush. Zooming out a little bit, we can see many presidents attended Ivy League schools, but Donnie didn't. In fact, he couldn't even get into Wharton, a school his family financially supported, without Fred Trump applying some pressure, where one of his professors called him, and this is a direct quote, "the dumbest student I have ever met." Now, the narcissist's brain doesn't take rejection well, and they hate any club they're not a part of. But it gets even stupider. Malia Obama enrolled in Harvard, but when Barron Trump applied in 2023, he was reportedly denied, along with every other Ivy League school. Trump was experiencing his rejection all over again. He was triggered. His baby tantrum brain broke, and now he's bringing the entire government down on Harvard. It's very weird he would focus on this one school until you understand just how diabolically petty Lil Baby Donnie really is.
Man, kind of says it all there. WMDX, John DeGordy, in the Morning.
This portion of the show being brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since they opened their doors in 1958. They are still direct to consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Go to Madison or go to Verlo.com for more information.
All right. Kind of nice to know the background. He is petty, and he'll go after everybody. I remember seeing an old clip in an interview that he did where he actually admitted it way, 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 way back then. So this is nothing new. It's just even worse than before. Trump's policies are not only destroying the lives of Americans, it's shattering the dreams, Gordy, of students around the world who have worked hard to get in to the global educational icon, Harvard.
All around the world.
Yes. It's one of those global universities.
It is.
You know, John.
Branches all over the place.
I'm a little surprised that you aren't, or that you haven't gone a similar route to Trump when you got kicked out of art school. Surprised that you didn't go after them.
Yes, I should. They're no longer in existence.
Job's already done.
Yeah, but now it's the Milwaukee Institute of Art or something like that instead of blatant art school.
Okay.
But anyway, this is a Harvard International student kind of worrying about what's going on here with Trump. So let's listen to this. Got 84? Oh, 184.
Here we go.
All right.
Do we have it?
Harvard International student, what he's thinking about. Okay.
I'm also sad for all of the students who have dreamed of going to an institution like this and have had it ripped away from them for what I can see so far as no clear and good reason. So I was hoping to study education and entrepreneurship at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and take that degree and launch schools around the world. Found out yesterday, funnily enough, after being on a Zoom with the Harvard team talking about international student affairs, that the Trump administration has decided that international students will be barred from enrolling at Harvard next year, and that all international students now will have their status revoked. I've had this dream of studying in the US, but it's devastating. And I know that there are several students now at the university who are wondering whether they're going to have to be deported or if they're even going to be able to get their degrees. So it's a moment of huge flux. I'm trying to stay strong and focus on what I can do, but it's really scary, and the uncertainty is really difficult to deal with.
You know,
that's the thing. Yeah. It's the uncertainty.
Fear. Yeah. It's just crazy. And what this guy wants to do is, you know, start other schools around the country or around the world. It's just an amazing thing. Now, let's get to another cut here. This is a Harvard professor, David Armitage. And he has something to add to the whole idea of attacking all these colleges. Very authoritarian. Let's check it out.
We're being made an example of, a whipping boy, if you like, for the administration's fear of critical thought, fear of a civil society which has not knuckled down to the MAGA ideology. It doesn't want any organs of opposition anywhere. And if you put this in a wider context and think about the way in which authoritarians across the world, from Brazil to India to Hungary and China, they often go for the universities first because they are places which are deliberately set up to create freedom of thought and to provide critical opposition, particularly to politicians, as well as, of course, through our research and our teaching to generate the factual basis, which is absolutely essential for the running of society and the prosperity of the country.
Yeah. And, you know, we've gone after the university here, the UW. Mm. I know, remember this, way back in 2011, there were big protests around the Capitol because of Act 10.
Oh, sure.
And the university had kind of it's not the art department, it was something else, but they did have a show planned, an art show planned of all of these very creative protest posters that they had. Mm. And Steve Noss, he was a representative at the time. Now he's a senator, but at the time he was representative. Steve Noss threatened the university and said they're pulling funding if they put that show on, showing these posters, these protest posters of, you know, portraying Scott Walker as some evil, you know, Nazi Hitler. But he didn't want any of this to be shown, so he warned the university that he would pull funding from the university if they did have that show and it was canceled. So that's censorship. That's government censorship, no doubt about it. No one whined or complained about it. So it's one of those things, you know, they're going after the colleges because there's free thought and they get to say what they want, and there's you know,
chaos.
It's just chaos without them. So we've got to keep them
That's
alive.
That's the chilling
and well.
Event. Mike McCabe will join us tomorrow. He'll share his thoughts with us. Stephanie Miller is coming up next. We hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you again in 22 hours.
Yep. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. So long.
Let the sun shine. It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.